Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the plague.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me? You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown. New season streaming June 2nd. Exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Hey, welcome in everybody to the flagship podcast. This is our preview podcast heading into the Red River Shootout, Texas and Oklahoma, or as Tom Herman said this week, OU Texas, which got a lot of people's attention. But we bring in a former starter on the offensive line for the Oklahoma Sooners. He's doing great things on SiriusXM radio, and he's got other things in his media basket, the one and only Gabe Eichard. Gabe, how are you doing?
I've got no complaints, Chip, and this is probably my favorite week of the year. I like to call it football Christmas, and I know that there's not a ton on the line right now when you look at this matchup, kind of what we may have been expecting before the season started, but there's still a lot at stake here for Tom Herman, for Lincoln Riley, for both of these football teams. I know it may not have the normal OU Texas feel, but you know what? I'm excited to see these teams play on Saturday. I can't wait. There is nothing like it, baby. Nothing.
Well, and that's the thing, Gabe, is that I've said this is the greatest game day atmosphere in sports, not just college football, in sports, because there's nothing like having 100,000 people gather and you divide the seating at the 50 so that you have this herd mentality when it comes to the sound, and we're going to out cheer them. And the sound, you know, as a player, I've only talked to players who've said that the sound inside that stadium is like no other, because if you're winning, that sound carries you like Superman. If you're losing, that sound can drown you out and can make you, you know, make a sack feel like a fumble or a pick six or something. I mean, it just has this energy about it because of the seating divided at the 50 that is off the charts. Is that fair?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. People ask me all the time, what makes this game so great? And there's so many things, but you start with the crowd, right? There's no other game, to my knowledge, in all of sports where it's split like that. I mean, you don't get it anywhere else. So, and I know it's going to be weird this year with the capacity limits and all those things, but I know those, what is it, 12,500 for each side? I know those people are going to be losing their damn minds. It's going to be great. Still going to be great, but yeah, people ask me a lot, you know, what makes it so special? And it starts with the players, right? Because all of these guys, a ton of the guys, you know, played high school football with each other. A lot of guys from the state of Texas that chose Oklahoma over Texas. Similar, you know, same can be said for the guys that chose Texas over Oklahoma. So that's what makes it fun, just first and foremost, is a lot of these guys know each other, and it just adds this sense of, you know, this personal feel to the game where it's like, all right, I don't want to lose to those guys. I mean, there is that. And then, you know, when you start talking about the game, it's the weirdest thing, because it can be your loudest home game at one point, and then it can be your loudest road game at another point in the football game, depending on which end zone you're in, right, and how the game is going. So you don't get that anywhere else, where you get those emotional swings just from the crowd reaction in one stadium. I mean, it's completely bizarre, but, I mean, you can even talk about the tunnel. I mean, where else does that happen? Where you're walking down the same tunnel as the other team, just talking to them and, like, clearly giving them a piece of your mind. But, I mean, that doesn't happen in other college football games, and probably for a good reason, but still, it's just another example that, in my opinion, and I haven't been to the Iron Bowl, I haven't been to Ohio State, Michigan, but in my opinion, with what I've experienced throughout my career and now kind of my career in sports media, this is the best game in all of college football.
Well,
it's the best game in all of college football. There's
no doubt. Before we get into this year's matchup, talking to Gabe Eichard, for context, you were part of the Red River Shootout in 2010, 11, 12, and 13. Is that right?
I had a good run.
You had a good run.
Yeah, had a
you
good
won
run.
28-20 in 2010. You won 55-17 in 11. You won 63-21 in 12. And then in 13.
Oh, Chip, do we have to talk about it?
Well, this was the weirdest game to me because this was supposed to be Mac Brown's funeral.
It was weird to you. How do you think it felt for us?
So, I mean, am I wrong? Did y'all think you were coming to be the pallbearers for Mac Brown's the end of his tenure at Texas? What happened that day? Because, I mean, obviously the Texas players totally rallied and, you know, showed up in a way that they hadn't shown up at that point yet in the season. And it just, did it catch you all off guard? Were you expecting them to come in and be hangdogs?
I was not expecting Case McCoy to play like Aaron Rodgers. That's what I wasn't expecting. Now, I didn't play defense, so those guys had to deal with that issue. But, yeah, the weird thing about this game, and you mentioned it, I won my first three. I lost my senior year. Like, I think about the loss by far more often than I think about those three wins. And two of those wins were absolute beatdowns.
Oh.
Right? I mean,
oh.
Clear the burnt orange side during the third quarter beatdowns. Like, we all know the pictures. That
right.
Still,
beer and corny dogs in the third quarter.
Yeah, that still kind of circulate when this week rolls around from those two games. But, yeah, that loss. I think it was 36-20.
36-20.
That yep. loss was – it still brings me physical pain today. I mean, and that just another example of what this game means to the guys that play in it. But I think about it all the time. You know, we turn the ball over too much offensively. There's no doubt. We didn't play well enough. And then sometimes you got to give the opponent credit. And Case McCoy was fantastic that day. Frustratingly good that day. Probably the best game he's played in his entire career. And
right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. The spaghetti armed Case McCoy.
I mean, I don't think we underestimated or anything. We had a good week of practice leading up to that game. Just weird things happen in the Cotton Bowl, Chip. It's just that, and that's what makes this game so much fun.
Well, let's get into this year's, as you mentioned, talking to Gabe Eichard. And actually, we'll come back with Gabe Eichard right here on the Flagship Podcast.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Gabe, let's talk about this year's matchup. And obviously, these teams kind of mirror each other. They're having some unforeseen problems on the offensive line, maybe the interior of the offensive line that we didn't quite expect. OU's, you know, they don't have Kennedy Brooks, so they're playing Seth McGowan, a freshman at running back, so the running game, little inconsistent. Texas, same. The defense has given up too many big plays, but the quarterback play has been pretty good. I mean, obviously, Spencer Rattler found himself in a tight one with K-State after OU had a 21-point lead. And he struggled some down the stretch. I thought he was better against Iowa State. But how do you see this game, you know, matching up? And where do you feel like OU's strong and maybe has the advantage and maybe where Texas might have the advantage?
Yeah, I think you got to start at the quarterback position, right? Most important position in the game, certainly. Most important position in all of sports. And Texas has the advantage. They do. I mean, how often, and it's only happened a handful of times, but how often has a quarterback for either side started in four of these? I mean, it just doesn't happen. It just really doesn't. So, and it's not going to be the same atmosphere, right, with the limitations on the capacity, with there not being the full fair around it, like the pageantry, all that. It's not going to be the same. But Sam Ehlinger knows what the Cotton Bowl feels like. He knows what stepping out there feels like. He knows what feeling that pressure feels like. Spencer Rattler does not. I mean, that's just the truth. It's not to say, like, I think right now Spencer Rattler has more arm talent than Sam Ehlinger. I think Rattler's already a better passer than Ehlinger. But those moments, that pressure, like, experience matters. And we've seen what has happened to kind of a young Oklahoma football team in the last two fourth quarters. Like, the pressure has got to them. They haven't played well, and they've dropped two games that maybe if they were more experienced, they wouldn't have dropped. So when you look at advantages for Texas, I think you got to start with Ehlinger and his experience. But I think their ability to use the quarterback run game is a big advantage for them in this game. And we saw Oklahoma struggle with some of that stuff against Kansas State when Skylar Thompson, you know, scored a couple touchdowns running the football, had some big plays, and he was playing on a bad calf. Like, a healthy Ehlinger, we've all seen those thighs. We've seen this movie before in this game. Like, he is going to the Oklahoma Sooners are going to get a big dose of Sam Ehlinger in this one. And you mentioned Texas, kind of their struggles or perceived struggles on the offensive line right now. Certainly thought that was going to be a strength of the football team, right, led by Sam Cosmi. Projected high pick. Kerstetter seems like he's settling in nicely at center. But this game tends to come down. Like, we can talk about wide receivers. We can talk about X's and O's. This game always comes down to who's more physical at the line of scrimmage. Always. I mean, you talk about and runs and completions. Like, that's it. It's the physicality at the line of scrimmage. So, I think whichever team runs the football, and this is usually how I feel about most games, but whichever team can run the football better, gonna win. Unless there's some weird turnovers, some special teams gaffes, which we've seen from both of these teams. So, yeah, that's where my eye is. It's the line of scrimmage. Who can move the opponent's defensive line and create those running lanes? And when you look at Texas's running back situation, and I know that poor Keyonte Ingram, everyone's talking about that fumble last week, but I mean, he's the best back entering this game, right? You're taking him over TJ Pledger, McGowan, Marcus Major, whoever. So you would assume that Texas, with their ability to use quarterback run game and their willingness to use it, right, that they'd have an advantage running the football. And that makes you think, when you just look at things offensively with the tackling troubles, and that's probably an understatement for Oklahoma on defense, like, you have to feel good about Texas in that run game coming into this game. You just have to.
When you look at the guys who have to play well for Oklahoma, if Oklahoma's going to win this game, obviously Spencer Rattler, but, and you mentioned the running game, but on defense, because we don't know what's going on with Ronnie Perkins. They don't have Kenneth Murray or Neville Gallimore anymore. Caleb Kelly's hurt. Who are the guys that have to play well? Let's start on defense.
Yeah, it starts with Perrion Winfrey. Guy's JUCO transfer, you know, missed a lot of camp. Is playing himself into shape. Had some splash plays against Iowa State, but still they're not getting exactly what they want out of him right now. And he is an emotional player. So everything that surrounds this game, even though it's his first year at Oklahoma, like, I can see him being a guy that has a lot of production in this game, makes some big time plays, and they're going to need him too. I mentioned the running game. He is their most talented interior defensive lineman. He has to play well. If he gets moved off the ball, if he doesn't produce, Oklahoma's going to be in trouble. because if you're not holding point at the line of scrimmage against Texas, they're going to get those big offensive linemen up to the second level. Now, while Brian Asamoah and Deshaun White, David Agwebu, this linebacking core for Oklahoma is improved, they don't exactly get off blocks tremendously well. They've done some good things, but if those defensive linemen, especially Perrion Winfrey, if he doesn't play at a high level, then that Texas run game can get going. Then that opens up the entire playbook. That allows Mike Yurcich to use more play action, push the ball down the field, in that vertical passing game that we've seen in his offenses throughout the past. So, yeah, I think Perrion Winfrey, he may be the most important player for Oklahoma in the entire game on Saturday. And Ronnie Perkins is practicing. They're anticipating him being available to play. They're still waiting on the final word, but they have every intention of number seven playing, and that could change a lot of things because he's a guy that, and I'm sure that Tom Herman and Mike Yurcich and that staff are game planning as if Perkins is going to play, because he is a guy you need to game plan for. And selfishly, like, I know I'm an OU guy, like, I want Perkins to play because he's OU's best player on defense. Like, he gives them a better chance to win the game. But also, as a line of scrimmage guy, as a former offensive lineman, I want to see Perkins and Cosme go at it. Like, that's the matchup I'm most looking forward to, and I'm really hoping we get that, Chip.
What has surprised, talking to Gabe Eichard, former center and offensive lineman for OU from 2010 to 2013, OU won the Big 12 championship. Two of those 4 years, Oklahoma State won it in 2011 and Baylor won it in 2013. But what has surprised you most, Gabe, about this OU team, good or bad, through the first few games?
The OU offensive line and bad, right? So, and I still have a great relationship with Bill Beanbo. His first year at OU was my senior year. I talk to him all the time. I love that man. I had never heard him be so excited about an O-line from a talent perspective, an experience perspective, young players pushing to get on the field. I mean, Bill was fired up before the season about this offensive line, clearly led by Creed Humphrey, who going to be an early round pick, but they just haven't played well enough. Now, it's not as bad as some people want to make it out to be. Like, they're not horrible. They're not terrible. They're not the worst in the world. Like, you know how the overreactions go, Chip. But they're not finishing blocks at a high enough level. They're playing assignment sound. They're getting on the right guys. But the thing that stands out to me, it's weird because this is a Bill Beanbo coached offensive line. Like, a lot of position blocking. Not a lot of blocks being finished, you know, burying guys into the grass. It's just different from what we've seen, especially the last couple of years with some of OU's offensive lines. They got a true freshman that they're playing at left tackle. He's done some good things, but Anton Harrison also has some freshman moments. Like, that's going to happen. So you start thinking about, well, what's OU going to do from an offensive line perspective in this game? You look over on the other side, you see Joseph Osai, and you go, do we want that kid going one-on-one with our true freshman in the third down and medium, third down and long situations where Chris Ash is clearly just doing things, whether it's overloading fronts, you know, bringing pressure the opposite way, to get Osai one-on-ones in pass rush situation, because that's their guy. That's the matchup they want. So that's another game within a game that I'll have my eye on. But, yeah, that's the disappointing thing. You can talk about the running backs for OU, like you mentioned. You mentioned McGowan, young, true freshman, playing a lot. Pledger, I think we'll see some more Marcus Major in this matchup on Saturday. But it all starts up front. Like, you have a redshirt freshman quarterback making his first couple starts. You've got inexperienced backs. You've got talent, but also a lot of inexperience at wide receiver. Like, that line, it's got to be the bedrock of the team it has to play, it has to play above expectations, right? When you have all that inexperience around you. I mean, they got to be the group that you can just rely on no matter what to dominate the game and bring everyone else on that offense with them. And it just hadn't been that way, Chip. It hasn't been that way. They have not played up to the level that has come to be the standard in that room at OU. It's just, and they're close. They're not, it's not like they are just leaps and bounds behind where they should be, but they need to get better about the details, and they better get right this week, or else, I mean, Texas has a ton of talent on this defense, especially that defensive front. All those big bodies, Keandre Coburn, I mean, Taquan Graham, those guys are talented. And if Oklahoma's offensive line doesn't bring it, they're not going to run the ball successfully. They're just not. So those guys have to play better. If they don't play better, Texas will win this game.
Well, I said when the reschedule came out that OU got screwed because they're playing four of the best defenses in the Big 12 to open, you know, K-State, Iowa State, Texas, and TCU. And then they got to face Oklahoma State, and you got a first-time starter quarterback. And I just said, wow, and no home games in the month of October for the five-time defending Big 12 champ. I said, if you are going to get OU, you want to get them early, obviously, before they settle in. And so it's going to be interesting to see if Texas can get out of its own way. I mean, Sam Ehlinger addressed the team on Sunday, apparently pretty emotionally, saying we're beating ourselves here and we need a better commitment. We'll see how that manifests itself on Saturday. Were you surprised to see OU favored in this game, Gabe?
No, I wasn't, just because, I mean, they've been favored. I mean, how many years in a row have they been favored, right? I don't know the exact number, but it's a lot. It's a lot. And OU, even though anything can happen in this game, I want to make that clear, but OU has had a lot of success in this series lately. And you talk about the big picture of things. Overall, OU's had a lot more success than Texas, which I know makes Texas fans very angry. So when you look at the line, I understand. I would never bet on this football game because, as you mentioned so kindly earlier, I lost the Case McCoy. So I know anything could happen in this game. I understand that. The one thing that, I mean, if we're talking from a gambling perspective, I'm hammering that over because I don't think either of these defenses are any good.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see. But yeah, if you were to ask me, you know, kind of a guess the lines type situation, yeah, if I was handicapping it, I'd probably favor the Longhorns a little bit. And that has a lot to do with them having Ehlinger, and it has a lot to do with me just witnessing that horrible display of tackling in Ames, Iowa that the Oklahoma defense put on the field.
Well, Barry Switzer is like one of my favorite people. Anytime you're in the room with Barry Switzer, you're howling, laughing. And do you have any Barry Switzer stories? Every OU player I've ever spoken with, I've finished the interview by saying, do you have any Switzer stories? Not even if you were, you know, personally involved.
I've got a bunch. I've gotten to know Barry over the years, run into him all the time, you know, fundraisers, things like that. Obviously at the games, things like that. But one time I was still at OU, and there's this restaurant in Norman called Midway Deli. Sandwich shop. They do a great job, really great sandwiches. And one day I'm in line, and there's like one person in line in front of me. I'm ordering my sandwich. Out of the corner of my eye, like the window, I see like fur coat. And I'm like, what? It's September. Like, it's the month of September. I'm like, who in the world? It's like 90 degrees outside. Like, who in the world is wearing a fur coat right now? In walks Coach Switzer. And the best part about it, I'm chatting with him. We're talking ball a little bit. But then he walks to the counter and he goes, yeah, I'll have the sandwich that's named after me. And I was just like, this dude, that is one of the, I mean, you talk about power moves. That's the one thing about Barry. He's not shy about anything. He's going to tell you exactly how he feels. And I've interviewed him so many times now as a guest on whether it's, you know, my podcast or one of the radio shows I've done. And you got to have that dump button ready a man Switzer. It's awesome. I love that guy.
And this is the full length fur coat.
Oh yeah.
That he wore probably when he was recruiting Charles Thompson. And
yeah, Barry doesn't do anything subtly.
Oh, that's classic.
He does everything 100%. He's still wearing
the fur coat. I love it.
Yeah, it was 90 degrees outside. It made no sense, but it was like, you know what? That's Switzer being Switzer. They call him the king for a reason.
Oh man. And he's still right there in Norman.
Oh yeah. 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 Everyone knows where Barry lives.
Holding court.
Yeah, that's right. He's probably still what fraternity house is that? I think it's like Fiji, maybe. I don't know. My mind's a little rusty on that stuff, but I wouldn't be surprised if he still goes over there and throws a few back with the boys.
So he lives near the Fiji house?
Oh yeah, right across the street. That's where he was.
That is dangerous right there. Gabe, anything else? Anything that stands out to you with regard to Saturday's game that you think is important for folks to think about?
Oh, so many things, but I think like as an analyst or even as a fan, you just gotta watch the battle at the line of scrimmage. That's we can talk about Ellinger and Rattler and all the skill guys, the backs and wide receivers, but that's where this game is always won. It really is. And then I think you're going to see Oklahoma attack some guys, some of the guys they view as weak links on Texas's defense. I think a guy like Chris Adamore is a guy that they think that they can pick on. And he's going to have some tough stuff. Like you formate some things. Maybe you get Stogner on him and you get a size advantage, things like that. So I know it's boring, but it's all going to come down to what happens at the line of scrimmage. And that's how this game always goes. Yeah. Whoever can run the football, whoever can win at the point of attack. And I also can't wait to see what this, you know, only 25,000 people in the Cotton Bowl experience is going to be like. Now, luckily I get to, you know, be there covering the game for the OU radio call. I'm just curious, Chip. It's going to be weird. It's going to be bizarre. But it's 2020, so it is. What's new?
Right. I mean, I've covered this game for 30 years, and this is going to go down in history for the wrong reasons as one of the most memorable Red River shootouts because, like you said, it's going to be the nuclear winter Red River shootout. And God for, you know, hopefully this is the one and only that we do it without the state fair and the incredible 100,000 divided at the 50 because – this, I'm with you. This is the Mardi Gras of Texas. This is Christmas. This is the best week of the year. And it's always going to be that for me. And I'll be there like you, taking it all in this bizarre Mad Dog 2020. But Gabe, really, really appreciate the time today. Great conversation. I'll tell Case McCoy you said hi. And
yeah, and I know how's old Case doing? Tell him I still think about him on essentially a daily basis.
That's great stuff. Really appreciate it. Thanks to Gabe Eichard, Oklahoma offensive lineman, and of course, now getting it done on SiriusXM Radio, Big 12 today. I'm often on with you and Holly Rowe. Y'all are doing a great job. And as you said, also on the OU radio call. So big thanks to Gabe and big thanks to everyone for stopping into the flagship podcast. Everybody stay safe and keep the faith until next time.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9/8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.